Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning are portions of the Holy Gospel. Specifically, I ask you to follow along in your insert. We will be looking specifically at verses 24 through 26, verse 27 by itself, and lastly, verse 31. Our theme this morning, a day of sorrow, a day of joy, Jesus' second advent. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, what do you fear? Let's be honest. Each and every one of us, we all have something that we are afraid of. We all have a phobia. For your pastor, I didn't tell the kids this, but I'll tell you. I am very, very afraid of extreme heights, like the Sears Tower in Chicago. Just ask my wife when we go there. I walk around the inside. I never walk around the outside. And if I do stand by the glass, I never look down. I always look out. I don't like extreme heights. Unfortunately, many Christians, and yes, I have heard this many times, they have a fear. They have a fear of judgment. They have a fear of the last day. They have a fear that on the great last day, that the evil deeds that they have done in their life will be seen by all men, and then Jesus will condemn them. God has assured you, dear Christian, He has assured you, His dear child, that there is no condemnation for those who believe, who firmly believe that Jesus Christ has made payment here for all your sins. At Calvary's cross, as you heard with the children, He has defeated sin, death, and the power of the devil. So this morning, this last Sunday of the church year, we take a pause, a short pause. Yet we take an honest look at and we consider that day of sorrow, that day of joy, our Jesus' second advent. Yes, we read as we read there in verses 24 through 26, Jesus is describing sorrow. He's describing death. He's describing tribulation or distress. The word that he uses, the Greek word that he uses, could mean distress, but actually it means oppression, affliction, tribulation. Jesus has this told his disciples what will happen to them after he ascends into heaven. They will be called forth into the synagogues and there they'll be whipped. They'll be called forth to kings and rulers and they will be killed. As I related to you last week, every one of the disciples were martyred. Everyone was executed except one, John, who died a natural death. Jesus then tells us that there will be distress in nature itself, that there will be oppression, affliction, tribulation of nature. What does he say? The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. You see, there will never be a day like that great last day. It truly will be a day of distress. It truly will be a day of oppression, of affliction, of tribulation. Jesus is speaking here in verses 24 and 25 of the end of the universe, the great last day. My friends, the last day for you and the last day for all people will be an inescapable reality of final judgment. Peter says it this way, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Yes, even creation itself will be judged. You see, creation itself groans. It groans even from the beginning, there in the Garden of Eden. My friends, you know this all so well, especially you farm families. You know the trials and tribulations that you must go through just to plant a seed, and then to patiently wait for that seed to grow. And of course, as you will hear on Thursday, there's those pesky things that always grow with them. We call them weeds. And then there's the trials and tribulations of the coming rains, or no rains at all, or too much rain. And then the worries of the harvest itself, which really shouldn't be a worry, but more on that on Thursday. We know that nature itself is cursed. But my friends, there was a stone in the Garden of Gethsemane that was rolled away. And when that stone was rolled away, out came the Savior. The Savior who has defeated sin, death, and the power of the devil, not for himself, but for each and every one of you. The living Lord has promised that all who believe will live. And yes, you and I know that our Lord, when he makes a promise, he will always, always keep his promise. My dear friends, in this day and age, as you heard last week, there are many false teachers and false messiahs. Oh, they will spew their evil words, that's for sure. They will be doing it right up to the time when Jesus comes. Yes, man will continue. He'll continue because man is sinful. He'll continue to wage war, not only nation against nation, but neighbor against neighbor. Son against father. Daughter against mother. It'll happen right up till the day that Jesus comes. Yes, we even know that even husband and wife and child will hate each other. And then Jesus will come. As in Noah's day, man saw the rain. They saw the rain coming, but they couldn't understand the consequences. You see, the world tells us, and this is especially important for our young folks here today, our young adults and our teenagers. The world will tell you to eat, drink, and have fun. Be merry. Don't worry. Today, maybe even tomorrow, you'll die. That's a horrible statement. You see, if people who live by those words, eat, drink, make merry, and then tomorrow I die, they will receive their just reward. They'll receive death, of which they have been promised, but their death will be a spiritual death. It'll be a death of everlasting torment, where their worm will never die and the fire will never be quenched. The very words of our Lord Jesus. Yes, judgment is coming. And the world should be afraid of it. The unbeliever should be afraid of it. They still have the opportunity to repent and to be saved. But dear Christian, should you be afraid of the great last day? Should you be afraid of your Lord Jesus coming at his second advent? We know that Jesus will return. That's his promise. And he will return visibly. Every eye will see him appearing in the clouds, and he will come with great glory and with great power. Every eye will see him, even those who nailed him to a cross. They will see him. It'll be unbelievable to them, but they'll see him. Yes, even those who say even today that Jesus is just a wise man or a good prophet, but he's not God, they will see. They will see for themselves with their own eyes that Jesus is the King. For all those who have no faith, you see, none will stand. For all those who have attempted to work their way into heaven or to buy their way into heaven, none will stand. But for you, his child, you'll see his great glory and his great power. And you will rejoice. Yes, you'll rejoice, for you know that, as Job says, I will see him and not another. I will see him with my own eyes. And in that great last day, yes, you'll rejoice. Jesus then tells us that he will send out his angels. Send out his angels to gather who? To gather his elect. To gather you. To bring you into his storehouse. To bring you into his kingdom. Then you will meet the Lord there in the air. And there is no fear. There is no shame. There, my friends, with the Lord in the air, there is life eternal. There is the eternal joy of being with him forever and ever. Every believer of every age will be there. You will see them and you will know them. But most importantly, you will see your Lord Jesus, and you will see him forever and ever. From everlasting to everlasting, you'll be in the Word, the very Word that will never pass away for you. For what has Jesus promised on that last day? He has made the promise to you and to you only, that he will wipe every tear from your eye, that there will be no more death for you, that there will be no more mourning for you, that there will be no more crying for you. Yes, my dear friend, there will be no more pain for you. For those former things, they have passed away. Those former things have been cast away into the lake of fire. And then Jesus makes a solemn promise once again that he will be your God and you will be his child. My dear friends, at a time when salvation by grace through faith was lost, it was lost in a church for a time and it's becoming lost today. But there was a monk, a Roman monk by the name of Martin Luther, who noted that the Lord nevertheless will always preserve the church through baptism. He'll always preserve the church, even if all fall away. The newly baptized, the little child, they will be the faithful remnant. They will remain the true and invisible church. As an example, if every one of us here today, including me, would leave and tomorrow be led away by a false Messiah and believe a false gospel and make a false confession, the church would still remain. The church will still stand, because here just recently, our Lord baptized Jaden and he baptized Carter. They are the faithful remnant, and through them, the Lord will build his church. Since they have received the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, you see, the Lord always works by his means, and his means are always good and faithful and true. Even where the pure gospel of our Lord Jesus is replaced with false teaching, the word will still endure forever and ever. It'll endure through baptism. Baptism's done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He who believes, as you have already heard, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Notice what Jesus says, will be saved. Not might be saved, but will be saved. Therefore, my dear children, my dear brothers and sisters, son and daughter of Christ Jesus, amid the turmoil and the tribulations of this world, amongst all the pain and the crying and the mourning, and yes, even death itself, look not to yourselves, nor to others, but cling and hold fast to the cross of Jesus Christ. And there is his promise for you, that he will never leave or forsake you, that here at the foot of the cross, your sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. There is no fear in death. There is no fear of His second coming. For when you meet Him in the air, you will live in eternal joy forever. Therefore, in this knowledge of the forgiveness of all your sins, watch. Yes, He tells you today to watch, to stay awake, to be ready. The final and glorious day of our Lord Jesus Christ, His second advent, will come. He will come for you and He will come for me. He will come for your loved ones and He will come for those who rest across the street. And then you and they will be filled with pure joy, be filled with pure delight as you see with your own eyes your Lord Jesus Christ. And then He will take you into His kingdom. There you will live in the new heaven and on the new earth, and you will be with Him forever and ever. And therefore, on this great last Sunday of the church year, the church always closes by saying, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly indeed. Amen." It is true. It is right. It is good. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.